You now open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 9. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, last week we looked at the first six verses as Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal diseases. We'll be looking this morning at verses 7 through 9, somewhat of an interruption in the narrative, but one that tells us of Herod's response to all that was going on around him. For context, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. Hear now the word of God in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staves nor bag nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, give us by your Spirit all that we need as we reflect upon your word this morning. Open our hearts to it. May we see the great need that we have of asking this question, who is the Lord Jesus? And may each of us, by the grace that you have given to us, by the work of your Spirit, respond in a way that shows that you have given us that great gift of faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 7, we read that Herod has heard about Jesus. In our world today, it's really a testimony to the power of God, to the work of God, that we can go almost anywhere and mention the name of Jesus. And people will recognize that name. However, just because the name of Jesus is recognized doesn't mean that the people who recognize the name of Jesus know who Jesus is. The recognition of the name doesn't mean an understanding of the person behind the name. There are many different opinions, even in our world today, speculations about who Jesus is. Who is the person Jesus? Who is the one? Who is the one that is spoken about in the Word of God? That's the question. Who is he? That's the question, really, that all men are faced with in this life. That's the question. And in a sense, it's the only question that really matters. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's the question that Herod is asking here. Who is this one? It's the question that Jesus will ask his disciples in a moment. In fact, didn't we later on look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 18? Jesus will ask his disciples, who do the crowds say that I am? And then in verse 20, he'll ask them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you know who I am? This is the question. This is the question that this section in Luke is going to deal with. Who is Jesus? Well, that's the question that you need to answer. That's the question that you need to come to grips with. You need to answer that question and ask yourself that question. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Do I know him? Are you convinced that he is the God-man? Are you convinced that he is the Savior of mankind? Are you convinced that not only to others, but to you also, he has given salvation. Are you convinced that he is the only mediator between God and man? Or are you like Herod? Are you just a curious inquirer, one who really has no interest in Christ? No interest in really knowing who he is? You may want to know about him. You may want to fill your mind with many things. But as we're going to see here, Herod had no intention of really coming to an understanding of who Jesus truly is. And that's a danger. The context here is one in which Jesus has sent out the 12 disciples. He sent them out and he's given them this power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom. And they've gone out and done that. In verse 6 we read that. They departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is most likely why Herod is hearing these reports. Herod the Tetrarch, he was over Galilee, and Jesus has sent his disciples to go out into Galilee. And so Jesus has sent his disciples out. His disciples are continuing his ministry, and Herod is hearing reports of this. Not only has Herod heard what Jesus has done, remember, Jesus has healed many, Jesus has raised the dead, Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God, but he's hearing that others are doing it. He's hearing that it's spreading. That not only is Jesus able to do these things, but he is giving other people that power to preach and to heal. And these events prompted the question by Herod, who is this? Verse 9, who is this of whom I hear such things? In other words, who is Jesus? This is a question that the disciples asked before. Remember when Jesus calmed the winds and the wave, they asked, who is this? Who is this that can do such a thing? Who is this that can calm even the wind and the wave? Speak and they obey him. And so here Herod asks that same question. And again, that question dominates this portion of Luke. But what I want you to see as we look at Herod's response to this, Herod's answer to this, that curiosity about the identity of Jesus is not the same thing as being convinced about the identity of Jesus. Curiosity about the identity of Jesus, which many may have, is not the same thing as being convinced about the identity of Jesus. We're going to see three things about Herod here, or four things. We're going to see that Herod was confused by all these reports, that he was concerned that Jesus might even be John the Baptist come back to haunt him, that he was curious about Jesus, but ultimately, even in all of his curiosity, he was never convinced. He was never convinced of the identity of Jesus. Well, Herod was confused about Jesus. He was confused because of what he was hearing. In verse 7, Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed. Now, it's interesting that here, the work of Christ in sending out his apostles, sending out the 12 disciples, has reached the top levels of society. It is going everywhere. Yes, he's going in and dealing with the poor and the downtrodden, but even those at the highest level of the government of that day are hearing the news of what is going on. And we're told here that he was perplexed. This Greek word literally means to be thoroughly without a resource. To have nothing with which to answer this. In fact, behind this Greek word is a word that means the crossing of a river. As I thought about that, we might really say that he was up a creek without a paddle. He had no resource. And if you've ever been canoeing and you've dropped your paddle, you know what I mean. You're at the mercy of the river. He was at the mercy. He had no idea where to go. He was being tossed back and forth. He was confused because of the reports that he was receiving about what Jesus was doing. And he's receiving conflicting reports. Luke lists three here. The first is that some, in verse 7, say that John, this is John the Baptist, had risen from the dead. Now, we learn elsewhere, earlier in Luke, we learn that John the Baptist had been put in prison because John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask a question. But we learn in the other Gospels that, particularly in Mark, that Herod had put John to death. John had rightly rebuked Herod for his sins. And Herod had him decapitated. He was murdered. So some say he's John the Baptist back from the dead. Now this would be horrible news for Herod. Herod probably thought, I got rid of that pest, John the Baptist. That one who came and accused me of doing what he did, committing adultery with his brother's wife. That one who made me feel guilty about my sin. I got rid of him. But he also hears that some are saying this is Elijah. Now it's true that the Old Testament, particularly in Malachi and Isaiah, spoke of the one who was to come would be like Elijah or in the spirit of Elijah. Now we know that was John the Baptist, but some are telling Herod this is Elijah that has appeared in verse 8. And others, the third speculation here is that he's one of the prophets. We're not sure who he is, but he's one of the ancient prophets that has come back. Now, this is somewhat close to the truth, because Moses said that one day God would raise up a prophet like him from among your brethren. And Hebrews tells us that Moses spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's the great prophet, isn't he? And so here, these are the options. He's confused because of what Jesus is doing, and this news has reached the palace. He's confused by all of these conflicting reports. And he doesn't know what to make of it. He was perplexed. Now that's the world, isn't it? The world does not have a category for Jesus. The world may try to fit Jesus into all sorts of categories. He was a great teacher, true. But that's all they say that he was. Maybe some, he didn't exist. Well, we know the evidence for that is clear. He did exist. But the world has many, many categories in which they would try to put Jesus, but they don't have a category for who he truly is. The God-man. The one who came and certainly did all these things, preaching the gospel, healing everywhere, giving his disciples the ability to do this. So Herod is confused about Jesus, but Herod was also then concerned about Jesus. He was concerned because he was afraid. He was afraid of John. In fact, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 2, we read that Herod said this to his servants when they were talking about Jesus. He said, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." It would seem that Herod chose option one. Speculation one, this is John the Baptist. Now Herod's confused about that because in verse 9 he says, John I have beheaded. But John is back. John is back. Now why would Herod be so concerned about John returning? I think he was so concerned about John returning because he knew what John was going to say to him. John wasn't going to change his message. John's message was clear, repent. Repent of your sin. You see, John reminded Herod of his sins, his sexual sin, taking his brother's wife. But now he has a double weight upon his conscience. Not only does he have the reminder that he did this sin and is still living in it, but he knows that he killed John the Baptist. His conscience is weighing him down. And Herod thought that with the death of John the Baptist, he could go on sinning with impunity. But he is going to find out. He cannot. I love this quote. J.C. Ryle, speaking on this section of Scripture, says, Herod's sin found him out. The prison and the sword that had silenced John the Baptist's tongue could not silence the voice of Herod's inward man. God's truth can neither be silenced, nor bound, nor killed. Now what a torment it is for those who are in their sins, who are outside of Christ, to know the weight of that. To know that they are sinners. To know that they have to do with a holy and a just God. And here's the encouragement for us. We can be encouraged to proclaim the Word of God with boldness, and we need to do so in this age. We need not to be afraid of calling sin, sin. We need to speak the truth in love, yes. But we need to speak the truth. And when we speak the truth, we can be encouraged that as we proclaim the Word of God with boldness, that it will reach the highest levels in society. It reached the palace of Herod, and it convicted him, not unto saving faith, but unto condemnation, as we'll see. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of transgressors is hard. And it is. What a horrible life to live under the weight of sin and not to seek the Savior, the one who can remove it. And that's what Herod was doing. And this word had come to him, and he was so concerned about it. But at the same time that he was concerned about it, we're told that he was curious. He was curious. Look at verse 9. He says, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. He wanted to see him. Now, why was he curious? He was not curious for the right reasons. He was probably curious because he wanted to know if Jesus truly was John the Baptist come back. If I can physically see him, I can know, I can remember what John looked like. And I can see if this is truly John. But he was also curious to assess the threat. What is this one going to say to me? Is this one going to call me to repent? Is this one going to expose my sin? He was curious. It's interesting that he never goes to see Jesus. We'll see that Jesus is brought before him in a moment. Although he was curious, he never takes steps. He says that he sought to see him, but Herod could have. He's the ruler of the region of Galilee. He certainly could have gone and sought out Jesus, but he does not. He really didn't want to know what Jesus had to say, because he probably understood in his heart what would be said. But here we're told that he sought to see him. And the world is always going to be curious about Jesus, but always for the wrong reasons. Some will want to come to church and they'll want to know about Jesus so they can have a Jesus that they can live with. They'll take parts of Scripture and say, this is the Jesus I want. But we proclaim the whole counsel of God. There are others who want to hear about Jesus so they can reject him. This is probably Herod. Herod wanted to find out more about Jesus so that he could either get rid of Jesus in the way that he did with John the Baptist, or realize that Jesus is not a threat. He's a foolish man. I don't have to listen to him. That's what unbelievers do all the time. Well, the Bible bringing up what they suppose are contradictions. The Bible says this, therefore, because this is a contradiction, I'm throwing out all of God's word. Therefore, I don't have to be convicted about my sin. But in their heart of hearts, like Herod, they know. They know, because the way of transgressors is hard. But Herod's curiosity led to his condemnation, because he was never convinced about who Jesus really was. Look with me at Luke chapter 23. If you flip over to Luke chapter 23, we finally read that Herod gets to see Jesus. He was seeking to see him. He certainly didn't seek that hard. But finally, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 8, we read that Herod sees Jesus. Verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him. Why? Because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. So Herod here wants to be entertained. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus had nothing to say to Herod. Jesus knew his heart. Herod was not glad to see Jesus because he desired to be free from his sins. He desired to see Jesus, to see some miracle done by him. In other words, he desired to see Jesus out of a desire to be entertained by him. A desire to gain something from him. And when Jesus will not play by Herod's rules, what does Herod do? Look at verse 11. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. And in doing so, Herod actually fulfills Scripture, Isaiah 53, that speaks of the suffering servant. If Herod is not going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to him, God will use him for other purposes to accomplish his will in saving others who desire to be in Christ.
Herod was a hardened sinner. And we're not told what would have happened to Herod had he gone immediately to Jesus when he first sought him. But what we do know is at this point he waited and his heart hardened to the point of hardness that when Jesus himself, the very one who came to die for the sins of others, was mocked by him, was treated with contempt, and sent back to Pilate. Here's the reality. The world never sees Jesus until it is too late. The world never sees Jesus until it is too late. And that's what happened to Herod. Herod was curious, but he never was convinced of who Jesus is. And so here in Luke, we have this, back in Luke chapter 9, we have this interruption, as it were, in the narrative. Three verses, verses 7 through 9, that tell us of Herod's response to what Jesus was doing. Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples. This news had reached Herod's ears. And Herod is thinking, here is one like John the Baptist. He's preaching of the kingdom. And not only this, but his message is backed up with great power. Herod was perplexed, he was confused, and he asked the right question, didn't he? Who is Jesus? Sadly, he didn't come to the right conclusion, because he didn't really want to know Jesus. He had a curiosity about Jesus, but his curiosity was born out of fear of what Jesus might say, out of self-interest. He didn't truly desire to come to Christ to be redeemed of his sins. At best, Herod wanted to appease his own guilty conscience. He wanted someone to tickle his ears, to tell him, it's okay. It's okay. You can continue to sin. And nothing will happen to you. Now Herod asked the right question, but he came up with the wrong answer. And he ended up rejecting Jesus and dying in his sins. And so again, I come back to this question, who is Jesus? That's the question you need to address with your own heart. Who is Jesus? Don't come in here and become just a curious inquirer who wants to know more about the Word of God, who wants to know more about Jesus so that you can cast him off one day or reject him. But be convinced that he is the God-man. Be convinced that he is the Savior of your soul. Be convinced that he is the only mediator between God and man. Be convinced, as he says, that there is no other way to the Father but by me. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Because if you're not convinced of that, if God has not given you that true faith, you are just going to be another Herod. Another curious inquirer who really has no interest in Christ and will gain no interest in him in eternity. Don't go down that road. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would keep us. Keep us from hardening our hearts as Herod did. Keep us from being those who are curious but not truly convinced of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And give us that great assurance, knowing that as we come, as we truly come, even in our weakness, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him, and in Him alone, can we truly find our consciences unburdened by our sin. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.